Thank you for joining with us again for our midweek broadcast. And again, we certainly would desire to soon be back in the house of God. But until then, we would seek to bring the Word of God by the means of this broadcast. And this evening, we're taking a break from our studies in the book of Job. And we're looking tonight at John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And we're going to read some verses from the opening verse of John chapter 18. And of course, in these verses, we read of those who came to arrest the Lord Jesus. Judas led the great crowd to arrest the Lord Jesus, take him away. And of course, that would lead to him being condemned to the death of the cross. And here in John chapter 18, in the opening verse, we read, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou givest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." Amen. We know God will bless the reading of this passage of Scripture to our hearts this evening. We'll just take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer and once again ask the Lord to speak to us even through his word this evening. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in prayer. We do so again in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, the one of whom we have read even in this Gospel of John. And we thank thee for the one who is our great high priest. We thank thee for the one who finished the work that thou didst send him to do. He finished the work of sacrifice for sin. We thank thee he satisfied thy wrath and justice. And we thank thee he continues the work of intercession. We thank thee we have an almighty Saviour, one to whom has been given all power in heaven and on earth. And we thank thee he ever lives to pray for us, that he perfects our prayers. And even as we come to the word of God this evening, may we get a fresh glimpse of the great Saviour we have. And even in our prayers and in our witness, that we might seek to see others drawn to know him as their Saviour. Lord, This evening, remember all that need a touch in body, in mind, or in spirit. Thou dost know each one. Thou dost know each need. Thou dost know those that need comfort in their hearts. Lord, when we look to thee, we rejoice that though we're not sufficient in and of ourselves, that our sufficiency is found in thee. Come now and open up the word of God to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage before us here in John 18, the Lord Jesus took the 11 disciples over the brook Kidron to a garden where he often took the disciples. The parallel passages of the other Gospels give us some more detail. In Luke 22 and 39, it is revealed that this garden was upon the Mount of Olives. In Mark 14 and verse 32, we're told this garden was called the Garden of Gethsemane. These various passages record how the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane instructed his disciples to pray, and he himself engaged in most fervent prayer. In fact, we read as he prayed that he was in an agony, Luke 22 and 44. His soul was exceeding sorrowful even unto death, according to Matthew 26 and 38. Now, as the Lord Jesus prayed in the garden, the disciples slept, Luke 22, 45 and 46. This was the night in which the plot to arrest the Lord Jesus was being put into action, when the Lord Jesus would take another step on the path to the cross, when Judas would betray the Lord Jesus into the hands of those who purposed to crucify him. And in the record of the arrest of the Lord Jesus, there are some important truths that we want to ponder this evening. Truths which are applicable to us in a very personal manner. The focus of our thoughts upon this record of John 18 is, of course, the Lord Jesus himself. What do we learn about the Lord Jesus in relation to his arrest? What do these truths teach us even about our standing before the Lord Jesus? Well, there are four things I want to leave with you with regard to the Lord Jesus here in John 18. I want you to think first of all about the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Of course, he has always existed as the Son of God. And though he came into this world as perfect man, God and man, he still had a perfect knowledge of all things. And as you read the opening verses here of John 18 and you learn that the Lord Jesus took the 11 disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he had engaged in prayer, as the other gospel writers record, Judas, the professed friend and disciple of the Lord Jesus, who had agreed to betray the Savior for 30 pieces of silver, he led a band of men, officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. And because it was night, they came with lanterns and torches, with weapons too, of course. And they came to the Garden of Gethsemane with the purpose, the intention, of arresting the Lord Jesus. In verse 4 of John 18, John records, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And I want to focus your attention upon the fact that Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. The Lord Jesus knew that night why Judas had come with this band of men. He knew the answer to the question he asked them, whom seek ye? He knew that his arrest that night would lead to a trial that would lead to him being condemned to the death of the cross. And yet, knowing these things, He did not try to hide or flee, but he went forth boldly to this band of men. He knew it was his father's will at this time that he would be arrested and he would go to the cross. That this was all necessary for the salvation of his people. He knew the suffering that would be involved. And it's interesting as you read through this Gospel of John how there is a particular emphasis upon the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. For example, in chapter 13 and the verse 1, you will read, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father." He knew the time had come in God's purpose when he would very soon suffer unto death. And of course he would rise again, and in time he would ascend back to the Father out of this world. He knew. We discover also, not only there, in chapter 13 verse 1, he knew something of the timing in God's great purpose for what would happen to him. But in John 13 verse 11 it says, "For he knew who should betray him." He knew the people involved in all that would happen. He knew that Judas would betray him. At the very end of John's Gospel, in John chapter 21 and verse 17, when the Lord Jesus was speaking to Peter and asking him, "Lovest thou me?" Peter said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things." The knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And here, as we've said in John 18, the Lord Jesus goes forth into the Garden of Gethsemane, and the crowd comes with Judas. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as the Lord Jesus had this knowledge of all that was happening to him, would happen to him here in John 18, so the Lord Jesus still has a perfect knowledge of all things. There's other ways in the Gospels in which the knowledge of the Lord Jesus comes out, not only concerning what would happen to him, but concerning his followers and what they were thinking and so on. And we can say this evening that at this very moment, the Lord Jesus knows everything about us, personally and individually. He knows our thoughts. He knows our words. He knows our actions. He knows our fears, our anxieties. He knows our feelings. He knows the questions we may have, even as his people. In John 16, in the verse 17, we read, "Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." And then verse 19 says, "Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves? Of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me." He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they wanted to ask him. The Lord Jesus has a similar knowledge of us. He knows all things. And as we think of our Savior having a perfect knowledge of all things, that ought to be a great motivation even to us as his people to keep us from sin. He knows everything about us. In our witness to the unsaved, surely we ought to use this truth to encourage them to turn from sin and trust in Christ, that the Lord Jesus knows about the unsaved sinner, knows about their rejection of him. He knows all things. But here in John chapter 18, not only do we learn about the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, he's a perfect knowledge of all things, I want you to consider the power of the Lord Jesus. Because as you read John 18, verses 4 down to 6, you will learn that when the Lord Jesus went forth to the band of men who had come to arrest him, he asked them the question, "Whom seek ye?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." In other words, the Lord was saying, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And the Lord Jesus said, "I am he." And I want you to note there in the verse 5, and the Lord Jesus said, "I am he," that he is in italics. And when the Lord Jesus spoke these words, we are told in verse 6, "As soon then as he had said unto them, 'I am he,' they went backward and fell to the ground." Now the Lord Jesus, in his answer, saying, "I am he," he was saying more than, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, I'm the one you're looking for." He was actually saying, "I am God. I am the Son of God." I want you to think back to Exodus chapter 3, and the verses 13 and 14. When the Lord was speaking to Moses at the burning bush, he was sending Moses to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said to the Lord that when he would go to the children of Israel and tell them that the God of their fathers had sent him unto them, he wanted to know that when the people would say, "Well, what's his name? How should I answer?" And the Lord directed Moses to say to the people, "I am has sent me unto you." I am. This title or name of God means that God is the one who has always existed, who exists presently, and who will exist forever. The great I am, the self-existent one. And therefore, when the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, I am he, he was saying, "I am God." Because he, as the Son of God, had come into this world as the God-man to be the Savior of sinners. And when the Lord Jesus spoke those words, such was his power and the power of his words that the men who had come to arrest him went backward and fell to the ground. Our Savior has almighty power. For he declared later that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When he was here upon earth, he could say to individuals, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And they weren't just empty words, they were words of power. Those people to whom he spoke those words, their sins were forgiven. There were times when he spoke a word in order to heal someone. His word had power. People were powerfully transformed. And when we think of the fact that he is still the all-powerful one, he is able to save, he's able to keep. He's almighty power. When we think of his word, as we have it even in the scriptures, we can take this word, and does it not have power to convict? Power to challenge, power to comfort. We need to be in the Word as the Lord's people. We need to be meditating upon it. We need to be praying over it, praying it back to the Lord, committing it to memory, using it even in our witness, and praying for the preaching of God's Word. In Luke 4 and 32, we read that the people who heard the Lord Jesus were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching, for his word was with power. And how we need to pray that the power of the word of God would be demonstrated, that the Holy Spirit would apply the word with power to our hearts as his people and to the hearts of the unconverted. So here in John chapter 18, we have seen the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the power of the Lord Jesus. I want you to think for a moment about the willingness of the Lord Jesus. You see, in the details of the arrest of the Lord Jesus here in John 18, there is also the evidence of his willingness to give himself up to the suffering of the cross. He gave himself up to be arrested in the garden, which he knew would lead to the cross. And we've already spoken of the Lord Jesus here in this passage, going forward to the crowd who came to arrest him, and asking the question, and identifying himself as the one they were seeking. Now, in verse 10, you read of Peter drawing the sword and smiting the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, obviously Peter was attempting to prevent the arrest of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus said to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So not only was he showing his willingness to give himself up to be arrested, which would lead to the cross, by going and saying to the crowd, who are you looking for? I'm the one you're looking for. But even the way he responded to Peter seeking to prevent the Lord Jesus being arrested, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? His willingness to go the whole way to the cross for the salvation of his people. In Matthew's account, in Matthew 26 and 53, we're given the extra detail that the Lord Jesus also said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Christ was willing to give himself up to the death of the cross to save his people, to save all that will repent of sin and believe the gospel. And again, in our witness to the unseen, we can assure them that just as the Lord Jesus willingly came into this world, lived a perfect life on behalf of those who would trust him, willingly went the whole way to the cross of Calvary to suffer, die, and rise again, then ascend back to heaven, that just as he was willing to do all that was necessary for the salvation of his people, so he is willing to save every sinner who turns from sin and trusts in him for salvation. Did not he himself say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out? We can pray that sinners would be made willing in the day of God's power. Remember in Genesis 24 and 58, when Rebekah was asked the question, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She was willing to go. You know, as believers, as Christians being conformed to the image of Christ, we need to be willing for God's will in every area of our lives, our home lives, our family lives, our employment, the work of God in the local congregation, our involvement in it. We need to be willing also. One final thought here in John 18, this passage, I want you to think about the care of Christ for his people. In the verses 7 and 8 of John 18, we find the Lord Jesus asking the crowd a second time, whom seek ye? And the answer again, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered in verse 8, I have told you that I am he. And then he said, if therefore ye seek me, let these, that's the 11 disciples, go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which ye speak, of them which thou givest me, I lost none. The care he had for his people. He had a care for their physical well-being and a care for their spiritual well-being. He was saying to the crowd, if you've come looking for me, well, here I am, let these go their way. And of course, when we think of those words, the saying that is mentioned, of them which thou givest me, have I lost none, back in chapter 17 and the verse 12, the Lord Jesus said to his heavenly Father in prayer, While I was with them, the disciples in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas was lost because he was never saved. But the Lord does not lose his people. Did not he say in John chapter 10 and the verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When the Apostle Peter was writing in 1 Peter 1 and the verse 5, he described God's people in this way, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Little wonder then that Paul could write with such confidence to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What a Saviour we have. One who has this knowledge of all things. One who has almighty power. One who came willingly to do what was needed for our salvation. And one who has a great care for his people. He saves and he keeps. May we be encouraged as we think upon our Saviour. And may we become more like him when we think of that willingness. Willingness to do what the Father sent him to do. May we be willing to do what the Lord would have us to do in life. And may we be faithful even in the place of prayer. Thank you for listening, and may God bless his word to your heart this evening.